always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Before we get you out of here, I do want to ask you this. As far as OKC's books go, right? Because the one thing that this CBA basically forces teams to do is make tough decisions. And you have Chet's extension kicking in. You have J-Dub's extension kicking in. Obviously, Shea is not exactly a veteran minimum. Although I will say AJ Mitchell's contract. I want to like... But there are going to be some decisions to make here. From the outside perspective looking in, it looks like, you know, whether it's, I think the cleanest band-aid to potentially rip is J-Dub, because that allows more money to be spread across more people. However, he's the second best player on his team, so it's like, do you really want to rip that band-aid off specifically? How do you think OKC navigates this this you know, cap situation that they're kind of walking into on the other side of this run that they're on?
So this is actually my element. This is what I do.
I know.
So I'm down for it. They're actually in pretty good shape this offseason. They have Hartenstein and Dort who are cuttable this offseason. If I were to read tea leaves, I would say Dort's gone. Because they have, obviously, they have Caruso, they have Wallace. Defensive talent tends to be the easiest and cheapest thing to pick up in the NBA. They can get a couple more guys under development.
Two draft picks this draft, right? So,
yeah, two draft picks this draft. And they got Sorber, who's coming back from injury, who hasn't played a minute yet, although he's a big. But they have a pipeline that's going already. So they're going to try and develop defensive talent through the draft, but they have a couple guys, you know, Kaysen and Caruso. Most teams would kill for that. I think they have to keep Hartenstein. If I were to guess, they're probably going to decline and re-sign him on a longer, lower money deal. Mm-hmm. That's what they did with Collison back in the day. It makes sense. If he wants to go somewhere in free agency, I'm sure somebody will pay him a lot of money. He's a really good player.
Lakers would love to.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of other teams that love him. The Lakers could really use him. That front line definitely needs shoring up. But we'll see what happens there. I don't think they ride with just Chet and Sorber. The Thunder are thin on the front line as it is. I think they need to keep Hartenstein, or they need to make some sort of trade for somebody else. I think they thin out the depth on the backside, too. I think Joe might be a casualty since McCain played so well. Wiggins, potentially, he's played some this year, but he hasn't been an integral part of the rotation. They have options, and they have younger guys coming in. They'll still have a good, probably 10-man rotation, even if they, you know, let Dort walk, move a couple of these guys for picks. And a lot of these guys are on really, really good contracts, too, because they came off like second round or something like that, didn't play a whole ton, and then they got him on a cheap, longer deal. Wiggins is like $8 million for 3 years or something like that. Ridiculous. So the Thunder are in good shape for at least 2 years coming up. This coming year and the next year, they'll be around the second apron. They probably won't break it. They have moves to make to get under. Past that, they may be over it. But they've prepared for that. They've got draft picks stockpiled. They've got money stockpiled. But the next 2 years, I think they'll lose some guys, but I think they're set up pretty well to have a good 3-4 year run of like fairly clear books.
Yeah. I don't ask that question to like, you know, play gotcha or all right, the Thunder are screwed now. You know, like I'm looking at it from the perspective of like, if I'm the Lakers and this is something that they have done intentionally, right? Like they have the cap space that they potentially have this summer and they're looking around at the OKCs, the Orlandos, the Knicks, Miami, right? Like these teams that are either up against various aprons. Cleveland is another team up against various aprons or vying to get Giannis and thus need to make money or to move money in order to make that a worthwhile venture for Milwaukee. And the Lakers are, I think, or the Thunder, I guess, are one of those teams that the Lakers are kind of looking at. It's like, does Caruso shake loose? Does Dort shake loose the way that you're talking about? In an ideal world, I think they would prefer that Ihart shake loose, but I think Sam Presti is smart enough to game theory this thing out and understand that the guy that he probably can't let go to the Lakers least is probably Ihart. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. I've been trying to, you know, I'm at my heart's extent a troll, so I'm always going to kind of needle the Thunder because I'm annoyed at how good that organization is. But I always do appreciate the back and forth that you and I have on Twitter when we have them. Thanks very much for hopping on. We have a lot of Lakers fans absolutely. Who are getting ready to pop on here and give their thoughts on this offseason.
But talk to your people.
Thanks for hopping on, David. Yeah. We'll talk to you soon.
No worries. See ya.
All right. Normally, when we chat with this next guy, he's walking around outside at the end of a series. This time, Jason Kelly hops on here seated. Jason, how you holding up, bud?
You know, I instead of going on a walk, I'm playing Age of Empires. I don't know if you've heard of Age of Empires, but like I'm playing like, you know, those comfort video games that you have, you know, where you don't play them that often, but then when you play them, you kind of turn your brain off just to kind of mourn. It's good to talk to you. You know, last year when I talked to you after the Minnesota series, I was walking around. Thanks. I'm glad you remember me. I've actually talked to you every single year for like the last like 4 years at some point during the season. And it's kind of interesting. I got married, like right. I talked to you and then I got married and then I graduated law school. And then last year, since then, I've become a father. And so it's been, congratulations. Been kind of a fun thing. Yeah. Thanks for what you say about fatherhood and stuff. I think it's good content and it's really uplifting. And I appreciate what you say, because I think, you know, we need to be good dads. So anyway, so I kind of have a couple of things, and I'll keep it short because I know there's other people that want to get on. And I've talked to you plenty, and I'm hoping this isn't kind of my last time being a true, like daily fan, because I'm really hoping that this was LeBron's last game. I'm praying that this is LeBron's last game as a Laker. I think it would be best for LeBron. I'm primarily a LeBron fan. I became a Lakers fan. And I'm still going to be a Lakers fan because LeBron's just about to graduate. LeBron's just about to retire. And before that, I didn't really have a fan base. So I think LeBron's got to go east. Like I always say, I am Let's Run UNLV, by the way, that's me. I think LeBron's got to go east.
All right.
Yeah. I really think he's got to go east. And I think he's got to try and do like a mid-level deal or something with the Cavs or the Knicks. And I think he's just got to, if he wants to win a championship, because I just don't think that there's a path for this Lakers team to compete with OKC. I mean, you look at the roster. Austin and Luka are players that could compete for a championship. Absolutely. The rest of the roster, zero. I mean, not counting LeBron. The rest of the roster, zero of these guys are high enough level players. And I look at the mountain of things that you would have to do. And it's like, okay, well, we won't bring guys back. We'll sign guys in free agency with cap space. And that plan backfires on people a lot of times. You don't end up getting what you want. And sure, you may pick up one player, but the Lakers need like six. And honestly, you know, I think that LeBron's career, I mean,
at various tiers, too. Like, it's not just that, like, they need, you know, playable NBA bodies or whatever, but it's like you need, like, especially if LeBron goes away, you need two starters. One being a legitimate upgrade in the center position, two being replacing LeBron effing James, and then, you know, maybe even three if you would like. I would prefer to try to upgrade from Marcus Smart at the starting spot. But yeah, like you're saying, this offseason is going to be very telling, I think.
Yeah. And look, a lot of people view this year as a gap year. And I actually think the smart thing for the Lakers would be for next year to be a gap year, would be to sign Austin to a contract, You know, you're not going to let him walk. You're not going to replace him. You know, you sign him to a contract. He deserves to be paid, even though he was just badly outplayed by a guy making $2 million a year on Thunder. Austin deserves to get paid. He's a great player. He's a good guy. I don't believe in him as a guy that can win next to Luka, but I believe in him as a player that deserves to be compensated and who's incredibly good. But your plan should be, in my opinion, and it should be to let LeBron walk if he wants to walk, not because that makes the Lakers better or they can replace him, but simply because, like, I mean, having him for 1 year at $28 million, where does it get you? It doesn't get you past the Thunder. You know, it doesn't get you closer to the Spurs. It doesn't. I mean, I think the Timberwolves would have smoked this Lakers team, smoked them. And that's three teams. And you know, the Utah Jazz, I mean, the West is going to be better next year. The Jazz are going to be trying, and the Grizzlies are going to be trying. Like, I think it's just better for all parties. Even if LeBron is as good of an option as you have right now, I think it's better for all parties to kind of move on. I think it's better for LeBron to go to the weak East and try and let the Spurs and Thunder duke it out, and then see if you can, like, help a Cavs or a Knicks team. And then the Lakers should sign Austin. They should do their best. They're kind of periphery moves. They should make some trades. But I mean, these teams that are winning championships, they're building through the draft. Like, they have to nail some draft picks. They have to nail cost-controlled players. And not just cost-controlled players. They have to use cap space to get cost-controlled contracts. You know, like, they need good assets, not overpays. And that's not going to happen with LeBron. And LeBron, you know, he's going to be undercompensated going into next year, but you have so much wasted salary on this roster, whether it be Jake or DeAndre Ayton or Vanderbilt, of course. You know, like, sign Austin to a contract, and then you got to trade him. You got to trade him for assets. You got to treat next year like a gap year where you're accumulating assets, where you're hoping the guys like a dude Thierro pop, where you're bringing in good value contracts. And let LeBron go have a fun last chapter of his career. I don't think the Lakers have ever appreciated LeBron enough. I really don't. And but I will say that if this is how it ends, I hope he's not back. Like, what an honor it is to have been a Lakers fan. I kind of like Tim Duncan growing up, and I always was jealous of Lakers fans. I never wanted to join Lakers fans because I always felt like, you know, like, you don't want to be a bandwagon because, you know, I'm 12 years old in 2010, you know. But like, what, I hope this is it. But I will still keep watching your show. And I think the Lakers need to have an honest gap year next year because they don't have enough assets right now. And there are things they can do to build assets, and Luka, maybe give him kind of a year to recharge. I mean, he's been like, he's having the Giannis playoff injury bug over the last few years, by the way, like 4 out of the last 5 years, he's been, obviously besides the finals year, he's been injured at the end of the year. You know, I just think the Lakers need not to do a medium. Don't do half measures. Don't be Gus Fring. Full measures. Don't do half measures. You're not there yet. No re-signing. Maybe bring back Rui. I think Rui is showing things right now that are awesome. And if you lose LeBron, I think bringing back Rui might be a good idea.
Yeah.
But Marcus Smart, DeAndre, I mean, Jake, these guys got to go. And you got to find a way to accumulate assets through smart trades and realize that it's probably not a next year thing with Luka. It's a 2 or 3 year thing from now. So that's my opinion, and whatever thoughts you have. But thanks for having me on. I don't want to take any more time.
Sure. I don't want to boot you off here and counter to nobody. So here's what I'll say.
Fair enough.
I understand where you're coming from on like this being a multi-year build. I think this is at the very least a multi-transaction window build, right? Where you're looking at, you know, this offseason and then a successful trade deadline and maybe another offseason after that. And you're looking at the team that Luka can finally fully compete with. Right. I do honestly think though, that like, you know, if, you know, LeBron is holding court right now, as you and I are talking, and he's talking about how he truly doesn't know right now what his future holds for him. I thought that moment where he kind of tweaked his ankle because Chet flopped into him, like his like vibe on the court there was that of like, look, I turned 40 this year, and every so often I will like tweak my back, or I'll be playing with the kids and I'll like pull a hammy or something like that, and I'll just be like, this sucks. I don't ever want to move ever again. Like, it's just like, I was watching LeBron out there on the court in that moment. And it was such like old man, like, geez, motherfuckers. Like, But I do think though that like I do think LeBron is part of the process of the Lakers getting to the level that they need to, not just from the perspective, and this is something that he has to show an interest in if this is the role that he wants to play, but I think from the perspective of continuing to teach Luka what it takes to be at the conditioning level that he has remained at for the extent of his career. Like, think about how insane it is, Jason, that this dude at 41 years old won the Lakers a series to get them into this spot and was arguably, if not easily, the Lakers' best player in a series against the reigning champion, Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, from that perspective, the Lakers would be stupid to just be like, yeah, go ahead, go to the Cavs on a minimum, go to the Warriors on an exception type of contract.
Not the Warriors. I think stay away from the Warriors.
that would suck.
I'm East. Go in the East Conference. I don't want you in the same conference as the Lakers.
It'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But I know that, like, I don't know if I would go as far as you did with like the gap year talk, because I think that they do really need to be competitive this year. And if you go into this offseason talking about gap year, that means that Rob Pelinka gets like 7 extra years from Jeannie Buss. And that's not something I want to live.
Jeannie's got 5 more years. He's probably going to be here for 7 more years. I think that's just the reality that we're in. So
long as Jeannie is there, Rob is probably there. But I do think though that like they can't, to your point, they can't like blow their wad. Like, I know there's a lot of people talking about Peyton Watson. If you make a max offer to Peyton Watson, that I think puts you in a tougher predicament moving forward than going about this in a kind of more patient way. Walker Kessler, I kind of get, because he's at a position of need. Like, I don't think you can continue to try to compete at the level that the Lakers are trying to compete at with DeAndre Ayton or Jackson Hayes or whatever minimum contract center that they're going to have from here on moving forward. I mean, that is something that, like, that practice of hoping that that Band-Aid on this bullet wound of a position is going to work out. But, I also don't want to, like, let them off the schneid that they have kind of put themselves in. I understand what points you were making, and I don't even necessarily fully disagree with this requiring patience. I am just so like calloused against the term gap year, because that's what, like, you actually, I thought, put it really well when you were talking about the Lakers' relationship with LeBron and how you don't feel like the Lakers have ever really fully taken LeBron as seriously as they should have, or they've never really respected LeBron to the extent that they did. I think they actually did at the first couple of years.
Yeah, with the Westbrook trade.
When they built the championship, I would say that they respected LeBron's talents and his place in history and all that stuff. But then the Westbrook trade happened, and that relationship eroded around everybody. And I think from that point on, it's been nothing but gap years. And so when I hear you talk about gap year, I'm like, nope, not doing that with Luka. not interested.
Luka's a lot younger. I mean, Luka's a lot younger. And honestly, I'll be honest, I don't believe in Luka at all. I really think that he's just not the kind of guy that's going to win a championship, and especially not multiple championships. If he's not taking his body seriously now, I detest that. I mean, that's what I did not like Kobe as a kid. I'm not a Kobe guy, but I loved how seriously he took basketball. And I just do not think Luka plays like a little baby. He just does, man. He's such a baby. And I like him as a player in some ways, but boy, I find him frustrating. And if LeBron didn't rub off on him, I mean, LeBron outplayed Luka in that Minnesota series last year. Like, if LeBron didn't rub off on him in the last year and a half, I don't know what, you know, him staying around is going to do. And so, you know, you made your bed with Luka. You got to give him the best. You have to give Luka the best possible chance, the best chance. Mm-hmm. And that involves getting like 9 new players. What's the best way to get 9 new players that are younger, athletic? You know, I think it's probably, you have to accumulate assets, and you don't do that if you're swinging for the fences. It's just I don't know the path. Would you trade Austin and all your first round picks for Amen Thompson? Every single first round pick you have swaps everything.
No, because like here's my problem with Amen Thompson and his brother as well is I fear that they are like better Vanderbilts. Like if you have a glaring weakness in today's NBA, you're in trouble. And Amen and Asar, like both those guys can't shoot. Teams just do not care if they rear up to shoot. The Lakers were guarding him like Rajon Rondo. And so I don't know that, but like there are players that, I don't think Austin Reeves should be untouchable.
I don't think the Rockets accept that trade either. And that's kind of the point that I don't think the Rockets will do that. And so when I look at the players that, you know, we can target, I just don't think any of them are going to accept our trade offers. And I feel like when we talk about trades, we go, oh, you know, we could trade for this guy. And I go, I don't know that they're going to, these players are too valuable. You don't get them through trades very often. And, you know, where are you going to find a 22-year-old wing that can run up and down the floor like a maniac and play good defense? Like, the draft. That's you're gonna find them through the draft.
They traded that guy for Luka Doncic. Max Christie is currently on the Mavs. Yeah.
True. That's a good point. I mean, I don't think Max Christie was quite on the level of the Thunder guys, but I do think he's awesome. Yeah. I miss him like crazy. But I just it's a long road ahead, and the Lakers have a long way to go. But I guess we'll see how they do it. I don't know.
We'll see how it goes. Thank you very much, Jason, for hopping on here. Thanks for the support over the years. And I do really appreciate the words about, you know, my father content stuff. It's the thing that, like, being a dad is probably the role in my life that I enjoy the most. And if that has rubbed off on anybody, whether it's you or anybody who happens to be listening, then I consider this a job well or time well spent.
Being a dad's the best thing a man can do. So thank you, Anthony. I appreciate you. Talk to you next year, maybe.
Sounds good. All right. We will go ahead and move along here. So there are some people here in the chat, but if I see like a screen here that says device is not connected, I can't quite hop on, like, because I don't want to be up until the wee hours of the morning editing all of this stuff out. So make sure your mic is connected or your AirPods are connected, or that I would be able to hear and talk to you when you hopped on. And as soon as I see those devices connected, I will welcome people on here. Let's go ahead and take I want to take another look really quickly at this series for what it was before. And actually, we do have comments here, so I just want to make sure we do have super comments. So I'll get to those over the course of the show as well. But before we do, I also want to spend a little bit of time on this series and try to contextualize like how far the Lakers need to go, weighing that against obviously not having their best player, a legit MVP candidate, this being a gap year, right? Like how close could we have realistically expected the Lakers to be, given that this year was probably a gap year? That makes this conversation kind of tricky as well. And, you know, where I kind of land at, after doing all of that math, and I don't like math. There's a reason I stopped trying to be a engineering major.